It's brand new, season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone was like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Follow the money on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Bet Rivers is your home for the French Open. Log in any day of the French Open to receive a 20% profit boost that you can use on any live in-play bet on the French Open. Get your free profit boost today and every day at BetRivers.com or the BetRivers app. See the site for full details.
All right, so we have to wait a couple of more days, which I'm totally fine with, for game one of the NBA Finals. Paulie, all right, so this is the longest shot on the board that we're talking about for a potential NBA Finals winning team. That's the Boston Celtics. And David Pertimer wrote about this for ESPN Chalk. They were 50-1, the long shot, based on preseason odds. They'd be the longest shot on the board to win a title in the past 35 years, according to sportsoddshistory.com.
Yeah.
Which is a very good website. So, it's actually, they're the longest team, longest odds on the board since the Warriors. They won it the first time in 2015, sure. They were around in Las Vegas. They were around 30-1, give or take.
Hard to be right. Usually chalky with the NBA or maybe the Rockets in '86, but the Celtics beat them. I mean, it's hard to like maybe the team that went back to back.
The Rockets in the mid '90s.
Yeah, I think they were a six seed.
They were a six seed the one year.
Yeah, so it's very hard to find a long shot in the NBA. But also, this was like what were they 125-1? When they were 18-21 on the season? I keep going back to when we were at Foxwoods and we talked to Kendrick Perkins. Because everyone was like, this team,
they wanted to break up and Brown and Tatum.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. But these guys can't do it anymore. And plus, they kept getting the Eastern Conference Finals and couldn't get over the hump, too, the organization. So winning Game 7 was huge. And now finally, I think they can come in loose now that they exercise the demons and this group finally gets to the finals.
Well, especially with a couple of days off here. Huge break for that team.
Yes.
You know, our buddies at PropSwap, they have tickets available that were 150-1.
Oh, God.
So that's how high it actually got at some point, probably December and January. But this is the beauty of the NBA now because this is happening more frequently, right? Because for so many years, and this goes all the way back 35 years based on their numbers, but I've said this many, many times on the show, the NBA has been college football for a long, long time. Charles Barkley would come on the first NBA game of the regular season every year and say three teams can win the title. And he was always right. It would be like Spurs, Lakers, or one team from the East. That's pretty much it. And you could pick one of three teams to win it, and one of those teams would win it every single time. That's no fun. I mean, the Warriors for a long time with Kevin Durant, they were minus 180 before the season started, and they went on to win. And there was actually probably value in that.
Mm-hmm.
Because they probably should have been higher.
Yeah, this team was like they were a 7-8 seed in February.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it was close. The standings, but to think you're the 7 or the 8 seed in February, now here you are in the finals. Another thing too is what I said earlier. This is going to be big with home court. I'd like the 2-3-2. I didn't like going back to the 2-2-1-1-1. But can you get a game in San Francisco where the Warriors are 9-0 in the playoffs, and you're going to probably have to get two? Because again, Golden State has won 26 in a row. They've got a game on the road. So that's the other thing with Boston about the issues at home too. We were giving away home games.
Oh, they were.
Can't do that. And then what's been the sloppy play lately? Yeah. You cannot. Now you're playing the big boys. Now this is it for the title. You can't have these just disappearing acts and sloppy play for 4 or 5 minute stretches. Like in games, they're up 13 with 2 minutes left in the first half of game 7.
Oh, boy.
And then they going up 6. Bad shots, fouling. And then I don't know what that was down the stretch with the Heat. Have the 13-0 run, and Smart takes 4 straight shots.
Well, that's what it was.
They're giving up baskets because they don't want to foul.
It was Marcus Smart trying to take over late. And by the way, going bombs away from 3-point land with 11, 12, 13 seconds on the shot clock.
Yeah, you can't have the silly turnovers. Again, there was, what was it, game 6? Whatever it was, when Smart let him in shots, that can't happen.
Yep.
Tatum and Brown have to get as many looks as possible, but you got to take care of the ball now because the Warriors can bury you, and they're going a huge run, and that'll be all she wrote.
I will say this. This series could actually be sloppy at times because both teams get like that, very turnover-prone.
Yep.
The Warriors, that's been a problem for this team now going back many, many years. And with the Celtics, you know, 0 games in the NBA Finals for experience. I think the number is 123 for Golden State, how many they have. So you have home court advantage for Golden State. You have experience. It's completely lopsided here, all tilting towards the Warriors. And I will tell you that I have future tickets on the Celtics to win the championship. I was betting them during the Bucks, and I think I bet them a couple of times to win the NBA title during the Bucks series and early on against the Heat at $2 and plus 225. I don't want to completely overreact to what we just watched, but that was not a good series for the Celtics. They survived a Miami Heat team. That was the one seed for sure, but they were also banged up, and maybe they were disrespected for a reason. I know guys like Aaron Rennie, professional sports bettors, had that team ranked number 5 in the Eastern Conference for a long time. Now you are playing the big boys here. I'm not nearly as confident on my Celtics futures today that I was 10 days ago.
That, my opinion's flipped, too. I like the Warriors. I just you could say the pressure's off, though, too, and they can come in loose because they finally got over the hump and got to the finals. But I think you're gonna, the finals experience is enormous.
I think it's really,
it's 132
good,
to nothing.
Yeah,
in games
is
played.
Is that the numbers? 132.
I think that's what it is. Yeah,
I knew it was high. Yeah.
So the six trips to the finals in 8 years, and Horford looks old. Some of those shots in Game 7 weren't even close.
By Horford or in general?
Horford.
Yeah, no, he was missing
the backboard on some of them.
Yep.
The supporting cast is going to be big. But if they don't get a game in San Francisco to start, it's going to be difficult because of the history here with what Golden State always gets that road game, too. And I think when you look at the series price, I'll ask you in a second what you're going to do. But I think the series price also is with, because Klay Thompson played so well down the stretch.
Oh, he had 3 games that
like,
were...
He looked like the old Klay.
Yeah, and specifically in Game 5 when they took him out and they beat the Mavericks.
Yes.
And actually, he was right because he did get a lot of... Here's the thing. He was getting open 3 after open 3 in that game. Will that happen against the Celtics? They have better perimeter defense than the Mavericks did. But he said, I should have had at least 10 threes in this game. And he was right. He missed a lot of open threes.
Yep. The other thing is health. Williams is hurt.
That's a big one.
He gave him nothing in games. The other one, too.
But he didn't even play.
Nah, he can't.
And then the fourth quarter, couldn't play him.
Yeah, game 6, he went to the locker room. Yeah, so I don't think, who knows, the time off's going to help. But I don't know what Williams can give you. Horford looks old.
Pritchard didn't play down the stretch.
They stopped playing him, too.
I think that flips on this series.
Okay.
I think they're going to need him to play because he'll have moments there. But also, don't forget that GP2 could be coming back in this series.
He could be.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing is the history. This is the only team here, Boston. They're the only team since Kerr became coach that had the winning record against them. They've had their number. They've owned them. I can't believe it. Mm-hmm. And they've also had no problems.
I think Klay missed a bunch of those games.
Well,
what it's worth. But yeah.
Well, okay. But they've also, this is the one team that's won in Golden State, too, year in, year out, over and over and over again. Even that team with Kyrie went in there and buried them.
Yeah.
And they went to Golden State earlier this year and clubbed them in March. So that's, this is, they've had a lot of success against Golden State. But how are you going to play this year? Well, when you look at the series price, you can also bet, will Golden State have the lead after three games in the series?
Well, here's the
thing.
That's
available.
Yeah, like I said, I do have future tickets on the Celtics at +$2, +225 are out there. I don't plan on touching it right now, even though I do like the Warriors. I definitely lean towards the Warriors in this series because of what we just talked about. What I need to happen is I would love to have Boston take game one and then approach it that way. I want to see what the series price would be going into game two.
Bet the Warriors in game one.
Probably a pipe dream. I actually thought the send out, I missed three. Some books had it three right away out here. I thought that was a little bit low for game one, didn't you? Humans and I talked about that yesterday. He made it 4.5. I thought it would be at least four.
Yeah, you're coming off a seven, back-to-back seven-game series.
Oh, football games.
Yes, very physical.
Both teams beat the daylights out of each other.
Yep.
And now here you go with the Warriors, like a good stretch of time off.
Yeah, they did not play well against the Heat. I'm with you.
No, they did not.
I can't believe they lost game six, too. But they were great against Brooklyn. No problem, right? Awesome against Brooklyn.
They had the best.
Right, had their moments against Milwaukee, but again, Milwaukee didn't have Middleton. And then it was just a weird series against Miami.
Yep.
And just blowing big leads and falling asleep and silly turnovers and
randomness like that.
Yeah. I mean that series shouldn't have been close against Miami.
Yep.
Guys are hurt.
Some more perspective on this from Sports Odds History on Twitter. Third straight year a finals team was 30-1 or higher in the preseason to win the championship. 2019-20 Miami was 60-1. That was before I think I get my days mixed up. To reach the championship, to reach it, not to win it. 2020-2021, Phoenix was 40-1, and this year Boston 40-1 at some spots. From 1984 to 2018, it only happened three times. That was it. So again, it was so rare for a team just to get there, and now it's happening quite often. The Raptors thing was nuts. They were 66-1 before they got Kawhi. The day they traded him, that moved to 18-1.
Okay.
But I think I actually think that they were 20-1 before the playoffs started that year. That's because the Warriors' power rating was to the moon. That was,
it was Milwaukee.
So eventually, when they were winning 1,000 games that year, right?
Yeah.
And the Bucks had them down 2-0 in that series.
Don't remind me.
Yeah.
Yes, at 100-1 that year.
Oh, boy.
That was ridiculous. On paper, it's a sexy matchup. This is it.
No, it is.
This is a great finals on paper.
Win Some, Lose Some is up next. It's been cashing at a very high clip in Game 7s for nearly 20 years. Did it hit again last night? We will tell you coming up next.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
My name is Johnny B. Goode, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
VSEN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on the program, this is Follow the Money here on VSEN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, Paulie Howard. Brian Mahoney joins the program now. He's covered the NBA for a long time for the Associated Press. We'll talk some NBA Finals with Brian at this time. Brian, thanks for the spot this morning. How are you today?
Hey, guys, how are you?
Doing really well, really well. So your early thoughts with a couple of days to go yet to prepare for game one. I was super high. I don't want to overreact to what we just watched with Boston against Miami, but I was super high on this team, obviously, against the Nets as they got past the Bucks. Then it kind of flipped in how they looked against Miami to where I started to like maybe Golden State in this final series. Where are you at early on here with a couple of days to go yet?
Yeah, you know, that's kind of a similar description to me, actually. You know, I think when Boston plays their best, they're the best team in the NBA with mm-hmm. the amount of things they can do offensively and defensively. But they had a blip in the Miami series, which kind of concerned me, some of the stuff I saw. And Golden State, I think, has just looked top to bottom, probably more consistent.
Yes, the silly turnovers and also these droughts that they go through. I mean, in Game 7, to be up 13 with 2 minutes before halftime, and that gets knocked down to six, and then they almost gave it away at the end when Miami hit them with the big run late. You can't do stuff like this against the Warriors.
No, you can't. The Warriors are as good as anyone at making you pay for your mistakes. They've been that way for a lot of years now, and you know, Miami, you know, can't hit the three like the way Golden State can, like really,
right.
You know, no team can. But you know, Miami could have made a even a bigger comeback if they could have done that. So yeah, Boston has to be a lot more locked in than they were at the end of that game, and certainly they were in Game Six. I mean, that was a terrible loss as well. I think they got to clean that stuff up, and then they can win this series.
Do you think they were tight? And all these, maybe reading the press clippings and also about the blowing it and not getting past the conference finals and making it to the finals and the Tatum Brown whole thing there too. Do you think they were tight and now can come in loose here in the finals?
I think that can help them, Paulie, certainly. You know, it's when you go from a team who they were a team in the first round, people thought they could lose against the Nets. And all of a sudden it goes to game six against Miami and they were, you know, going to kill them. Miami's too hurt and yes. This is going to be easy and so on and so forth. Yeah, now they're, you know, considered maybe an underdog, at most a slight favorite to some people. So, yeah, there is some pressure off. I think that could definitely help them.
So Brian, as I was watching the Warriors defeat the Mavericks in that fifth game last week, you know, I'm watching Clay with a ton of open threes, and he talked about it after the game. He's like, look, I left a lot of threes on the court tonight, too. I should have had probably 10 made threes. Overall, Dallas, I mean, they don't have the defenders to take on a team like Golden State. I talked about this a lot yesterday. I think the individual defensive play by Boston, they have the personnel to make it look a lot different, though, right? Like, they have the guys that can go out there, and I know Golden State, they got a ton of guys that can kill you, but don't you think Boston can kind of match up a little bit better? And I know they're awesome defensively, but than a team like Dallas did against them?
I think Boston has better individual defenders than Dallas does. Dallas had a nice team defensive right. scheme. Boston has both. They have great individual guys and a good team scheme. The difference, I think, will be interesting to me that I'm interested to watch is that Boston's been playing a certain kind of team for a couple rounds with, you know, great individual ball-dominant guys, Durant, Giannis, Jimmy Butler. Now you're looking at Golden State's amazing ball movement, you know, spread the ball around. It's going to be an adjustment, I think, for them. I think they can certainly defend it, but it's going to be a different look than what they've seen for the last month and a half.
Yeah, that's a good point. And also, if Boston can't give away these home games either, because, you know, Golden State's likely to get one on the road, and they're going to have to win a couple in San Francisco where the Warriors haven't lost either.
No, it's a great point, Paulie. I mean, they have certainly let down a couple times at home, and, you know, credit to them, they find a way to get it back on the road. But Golden State's a different kind of team. You don't want to risk that too many times.
Well, I mean, the intangibles overall, not only the home court, Brian, but also, like, the NBA Finals experience. So how much, based on those two things, how much of an edge would you give Golden State? They have, what, like 130 games played in the Finals? The Celtics have zero?
It's a massive difference, and, you know, sometimes I think it can be overplayed, but when it's that big a difference, I don't think it can. You know, when you're looking at what you know, Draymond and Clay and Steph have been through, they've seen every possible thing you can see in an NBA Finals situation, and Boston's seen none of that. So, yeah, it's got to be a huge advantage. How much it plays in, we'll find out, but certainly you can't ignore it, I don't think.
How about the health standpoint? Williams did not look good down the stretch in those last two games against Miami, and also what are you hearing on Peyton?
Yeah, I mean, they think there's a good chance that he'll be able to play. If not early, then at some point in the series. And, yeah, I think it's the ultimate factor here with, you know, every time Williams plays, he looks, you know, that team looks great. His energy, his ability to clog the middle, but he just can't seem to do it every game. And, you know, same thing with Marcus Smart. So I just don't know if Boston can have their best guys at their best level every single game.
Yeah. How much playing time do you think Pritchard gets in this series? Because he was, you know, basically not even on the court for the last three games against the Heat.
Yeah, and he had played well, I thought, before that. I thought he gave them some good minutes earlier on, late in the Milwaukee series. I think he'll get a shot at some point. You know, that the Golden State just plays so many guys and they move around so much, I think you have to kind of stay fresh against them a little bit. So I think he'll get a shot at some point. Let's see if he can, you know, earn his way to stay out there when he does.
Yeah.
What have you thought about the officiating so far in the playoffs and how they can, even Game 7, how they're rewarding the flop? And if that can help out maybe Boston with how Smart plays.
I mean, I hate it, Paulie. I think everyone does, you know, but these guys are so good at it. You know, Marcus Smart is a tremendous flopper. Kyle Lowry, I mean, these guys are some of the best I've ever seen at flopping. So I can see why they get the calls, but, I hate it. I like to, you know, call me old-fashioned, whatever. I like to see guys get in front and try and turn the offensive guy. That's the way we were taught to play basketball. Guys don't do that anymore. And hopefully it doesn't affect a big play, you know, because, you know, it's an ugly scene sometimes.
Yeah. If Wiggins and Looney, if they each have and play, you know, a good series here against Boston, do you think the Celtics can win the series still and overcome that?
Well, those guys are so key, Mitch, and, you know, they played great against Dallas. I mean, we expect it from the veteran guys, but those were, you know, I thought Wiggins could have at some point been, or even Looney, the MVP of that series. So if those guys play well, and certainly if Wiggins matches or overplays Jaylen Brown, those are a huge advantage for Golden State for sure. I think those guys are, you know, they're locked in right now.
Do you have a vote for the NBA Finals MVP?
I have. So I did last year. It's a good question. It changes year to year. I'll figure it out along the way. I'm not certain yet. I couldn't get it wrong last year. It was unanimous for Giannis.
Who are you picking, and how deep does the series go?
I think it goes deep. I'm not sure yet. I would lean, I guess, Golden State based on I think they're a little healthier. I guess if I had to make a pick right now, which is, I guess, what you guys do, I'd say Golden State in seven. But I do think it is that close. I'm just not sure if Boston can consistently stay healthy with the couple key guys.
Yeah. That pays plus 325, by the way, the Warriors in seven. What was your reaction, and what's the reaction around the league to the Lakers going with Darvin Ham?
I think people thought that he was ready for a job and that he was the kind of guy that they needed, some real discipline, a pretty tough guy. And I think people overall were, liked this pick. There were a lot of people who worried about, how much was Phil Jackson meddling, how much was Magic, all these guys, were they going to mess this hiring up? But I think a lot of people think they got it right. This is a guy who's qualified for the job. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens now with obviously Westbrook and the rest of their roster.
All right, my friend. Thanks for popping on. Enjoy the series. We'll catch up soon.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
There you go. Brian Mahoney covers the NBA for the Associated Press at Brian C. Mahoney on Twitter. And that is staggering, the finals experience, 123-0.
Yeah, and I think games, but, if Williams is banged up,
then you got to play Tice. I don't know what you're going to get.
And Wiggins and Looney play well.
Yes.
I really, really, if you told me that right now, it's going to happen. I mean, you'd have to love Golden State. By the way, thanks to Tommy for sending this in. The Celtics point differential in the playoffs, plus 18 against the Nets, plus 55 against the Bucks, plus 37 against the Heat. The sweep was the closest series. They played a 7-game series against the Bucks, and they were a plus 55. I can't get game 6 out of my head.
Oh, I can't.
That was absolutely disgusting by Boston.
Yep, I know.
I couldn't believe what I was watching in that game.
Yes. Top two defensive teams, at least efficiency, meeting in the finals. First time since the Chicago-Seattle finals.
Wow.
The Jordan Bulls. What was that, mid-90s? Got to go back that far. The top two defensive teams meeting in the finals.
I do think, now having said all of this, I think the Celtics can take one of the first two games in San Francisco.
I hope you're right. Yes. You can lay 2.5 games with Golden State. That's plus 350.
Boy, to take them out in 5 games?
Hey, I know. Boston minus 1.5 is plus 220. And to lead after 3 games, Golden State is minus 170. Will Golden State go up 2 games to 1? That's plus 120. Boston to lead the series 2 games to 1 is plus 180.
Okay.
So many different ways to bet this series.
We will kick around player props coming up next. I think you'll be surprised which player has gone over this particular number more than his counterparts.
Follow the money on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The VSiN Summer Specials here for $39. You get everything VSiN has to offer from now to the end of July. You got more golf majors coming up. Andy Burks, daily best bets in Major League Baseball. Adam Burks, Von Tobel, NBA Finals. Andy McNeil, Stanley Cup Playoffs. Full VSiN experience, which features a daily best bet email, every edition of Point Spread Weekly, the live video stream whenever you want. It costs only $39. To subscribe through July 31st, sign up now, VSiN.com/summer. It's supposed to be a great finals on paper, but we have just seen the last two rounds awful with Blowout City.
Yep.
Basketball. Yes, right. The other thing, too, and now it's great that the Heat are out between the Lowry embarrassed.
Thank God they're unwatchable.
Now, I know Smart does it, too, but what Lowry was doing in that series, that foul on Tatum when he never touched him, and Lowry having a conniption and falling down.
Oh, there's one from Smart, too.
Oh, yeah. They have got to stop this. As I tweeted, just don't reward that. I mean, if a guy goes, whether it's getting a pick set on you or trying to draw the block charge, when the guy goes flying like he's shot, just don't call anything.
You know what I would do?
I would call it on him, and that will stop. Everyone will stop doing this.
I would honestly, in the offseason, I would say you're going to get a technical foul. If you keep pulling this BS and the stoppage is in play, I can't deal with the replays, the reviews. The block charge is already completely out of control. It has been for 20 years. They can never figure this out. And then you add the flopping to everything, too. I would just tell every single player, if you do this, we're going to go back and replay one time. You're going to get a technical. That's it. And that's the bottom line.
Yeah.
and you're going to hurt your team. So knock it off.
Yep. Health's going to be big, and the supporting cast is going to be huge. How these guys are going to play. What do you get out of a Looney who was great against Dallas, but will that continue against the best defensive team here and the size of Boston? What do you have with Williams, his health? Foul trouble will be big. How they're calling this. I mean, it seems big names are in foul trouble. The other thing, too, Tatum cannot complain if he doesn't get a call. He got to get back on defense. Mm-hmm. He does too much complaining.
Don't you think that depth can be a concern all of a sudden for Boston?
Yes.
If Robert Williams is not going to be healthy.
Well, and you're not playing Pritchard.
If they can't play Pritchard, and then all of a sudden you look at the Warriors and they get maybe a full complement of players.
Yeah.
And then you have Wiggins playing this well on top of everything else. This is Steve Kerr, head coach, Golden State, talking about how Wiggins has been so good.
I think he's taken a leap in this postseason with his rebounding and his defense. And I think, continuity is so important in this league that you can't just throw people together and expect it to work. So the previous, year and 15 games, whatever it was, that 2 years ago, and then this season, it's all led to this point. And Wiggs has just been a perfect fit. And we wouldn't be here without him, that's for sure.
His points prop at DK, 16.5. The over opened up plus 105 for Andrew Wiggins.
You can throw Poole in there, too. But I don't know. I mean, if you get the Klay Thompson of old and the Klay Thompson that showed up in Game 5, it's going to be hard for Boston. But I absolutely think they can come in loose because they were expected to beat Miami, and they should have beat Miami. I mean, Game 6 was an embarrassment, you're right, and then almost given away in Game 7.
Mm-hmm.
You also took on Milwaukee, and Middleton was hurt. But to the point you made earlier, and Brian said too, you don't know in and out Williams, smart Williams, who's mm-hmm. in, who's out, and guys missing time. But it was so important that they won that series, number one, because they were a big favorite against Miami and laying 9 in Game 6. But the other thing too is, I mean, you couldn't lose that series again. You've been here. So you lost to Miami in the bubble conference finals. You couldn't get past LeBron. You had the Isaiah Thomas team, and this was a huge game and series for the Tatum Brown tandem as well.
They almost blew the game.
Yes, they did.
With that big lead late in the fourth
quarter, 2-point game. Butler's got the open look to win it.
Yep.
Take the lead. But that I think they can come in loose now. Okay, you can play a little bit of house money that they finally got to the finals. Now this particular group.
Here's the thing about Klay. I think Thompson is going to have a couple of those games in the series. I don't think you can rely on him to go out there and say, hey, Klay, give us 7 like you played in Game 5 against Dallas. He's been up and down with his threes and his shot-making ability. Plus, he's just, like, with the step. This is what you would have to expect coming off the injury. He's kind of who he is at this point. But he is giving him 35 minutes a game so far in the playoffs, averaging almost 20 points per game. Now, in terms of this overall prop with made threes, DraftKings put up 3.5 for each Thompson, Curry, and for Tatum. Would you believe that Curry has 4 or more threes in 4 out of his last 10 games? Thompson has made 4 or more threes in only 3 out of his last 10 games, and yet Jason Tatum has made 4 or more threes in 5 out of his last 10 games. He's done it more than Curry or Thompson.
Yeah.
And they're all sitting at 3.5.
Yeah. I'm interested to see all these team totals. Because this could be bombs away this whole series, right?
Oh, for the made threes.
First player to make the first three combined for the teams with which they'll have up at all these places. Largest lead prop, because it was 15.5 for Game 7. So how high will that be? Which figures to be, because you see the point spread's 3.5 for Game 1. The other, will it be a sweep over 4.5 games is 1-10? Will the series go 6? Yes, is 185. The double, will Golden State win Game 1 in the series is plus 105. Boston's plus 250. I mean, the lead after 3 games, the exact outcome, the outcome after 3 games, laying a game and a half, taking a game and a half, laying 2.5 games, taking 2.5 games, this is great.
Who's the best player in the series?
I think it's Curry.
I think you got to go Steph Curry.
So cause for concern with Tatum at times.
Yeah, I don't want to.
Couple dog games he's had in there.
Yep. I thought going into the Miami series, Tatum was going to be the best player on the court.
He
was the finals MVP. You could have made a case for, look, Tim Bontemps voted Jimmy Butler. I have no problem with that.
I would have voted for Butler, too.
Yeah, Butler, he probably deserved it.
Yeah.
You can absolutely make a case for that.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Luka was going to be the best player in the series against Golden State. Now, his points, that was awesome. I'd probably say he might have been the best player in that series. Curry was the MVP of that. But as Brian Mahoney said, I thought Looney and Wiggins had a great case to win the MVP. I just hope that if somebody else deserves it here on either winning side, I hope the voters are not lazy and just say, yeah, Tatum's got to be the guy or Curry's got to be the guy if other players have a case. If a Wiggins has a case or a Looney has a case, then give him the vote. You don't have to, by default, give it to a guy like Curry. And yes, it's because I'm not betting on him to win the finals MVP or Tatum. But you can't go in thinking that he's going to be the MVP if they win the series. You gotta watch the whole thing unfold.
Good, another good point by Mahoney as well. And I also think, again, tied into tempo. About it's hard to play against Golden State because there's so much movement. Well, you didn't really see that with the Nets, and because it's more bang you down
isolation.
Low. Yeah, bang you down low with Freak. What Durant was doing, although they did an excellent job defending him, and then Miami was also same thing with Butler, where it was just one guy. Here it's a whole team, and there's so many guys you have to worry about, and beautiful ball movement.
I also read a good breakdown on what the Celtics need to do defensively. I'm sorry, when they have the ball on offense. And going against Golden State's defense, they need to obviously target and hunt Steph Curry. We all know this, but people have pointed out that Steve Kerr and the defensive coaches for Golden State, they're so good, they immediately find ways to get Curry off the ball defensively, and they can rotate other players. So this is going to be a lot of Tatum and Brown when they have the ball.
Oh, that's interesting.
And can you trust Tatum? Or, I'm sorry, can you trust Jaylen Brown when he has the ball?
No. Kevin O'Connor mentioned that several times from the Ringer. They were doing way too much of that in the last two series. Just run your offense. You're just so worried about hunting and finding the mismatch. And,
right.
And then you wait, and then you can't get into things till 5-6 seconds left on the shot clock.
Right.
Just go. Run your offense. Too much hunting. Too much of that.
Yeah.
That was a good observation by you.
Yeah, and I do honestly think that Pritchard's going to have to play more in the series.
Yeah, I agree.
There's a spot here where maybe he can find his open three,
and
get him the ball.
And how big of a role is Grant Williams going to play?
Yeah, that's
another one.
Total X factor in the series.
Oh, but that did not look good for Robert Williams the last two games. Not good at all.
Yeah. I mean,
and Horford either.
Which game was
it? I just think it's too many games for the old man.
It's a lot.
Seven games.
35
seven
years
game series,
old.
Right.
And by the way, again, for what it's worth, it was a meat grinder in each series.
Yeah.
To go through what they had to go through against Milwaukee and Miami to get here.
Physical.
Very much so.
Schedule helps them out, though. Thursday, Sunday, Wednesday, Friday, Monday.
Yeah.
First five games.
They caught a huge break here by that series ending on Sunday night, and now they get a big cushion until Thursday. I would have, loved Golden State if the game was tonight. If they had one game in between, had played Sunday night in Miami, had got to play game one tonight, oh, come on. The number would not have been where I don't think that would have been baked into the number, I think. But so they got back to Boston in the wee hours yesterday, and now they got to go all the way across the country.
They've not played well at home here lately, and you're going to have to get two in the Bay because of this 26 in a row thing.
Probably.
It was ridiculous.
Probably, which they can do, but it's easier
tough,
said than done.
Yeah, tough ask, but that's. And it comes down to experience.
But
I think that's a big deal. I mean, 123 to nothing. And they've been to six finals in the last 8 years.
Yep. Don't you wish it was still 2-3-2?
I like 2-3-2.
So do I. Never had a problem with 2-3-2.
Yeah, I know the media did as well with the travel.
Up next, NHL with Dennis Bernstein. Are we getting a chalky Stanley Cup final? Or are the dogs live? We'll ask him coming up next.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Always follow the money.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
If you're looking for more sports betting discussion around your local teams, Bet Rivers has you covered. They've launched a series of CityCasts designed to tackle sports betting from the local perspective. CityCast in Chicago, Denver, Detroit, LA, New York, Philly, Pittsburgh, and now Washington, D.C. Subscribe to your local CityCast wherever you get your podcast. All right, here we go. Good fun. Dennis Bernstein, fourthperiod.com. SiriusXM Radio as well to preview the conference finals. We start tonight in the West with Edmonton and Colorado. Great. Thanks for the time, Dennis, and getting up early. You nailed Edmonton and Calgary. That'd be a wild, high-scoring series. Do you see the same thing here with Colorado and Edmonton? We open with a total of seven tonight.
Paulie, did you lose a bet? Is that why you're wearing that jersey? Like, what, Edmonton Oilers? What are you, really?
Oh, what's the problem? What? Come on. Gretzky. My idol, Gretzky.
Yes, I expect a high-scoring series because I don't really trust both of these goaltenders. Mm. Mike Smith, at times, is really good, but he hasn't faced a team like the Colorado Avalanche. And Darcy Kemper's been good enough. He hasn't stolen games. So to me, it's a toss. I mean, here's the difference between the first two rounds for Edmonton. And I think they're both live dogs.
Yeah,
I did a little pre-talk with Mitch last night. I think they're both live dogs in the series, but here's the one X factor Colorado has that Edmonton hasn't faced. In the first two rounds, they faced the Kings and they faced Calgary. Neither team has a dynamic player like Cale Makar on defense. That's the difference. They're going to have to defend Cale Makar, who's been otherworldly for this team. So to me, that's the key. Can Edmonton find enough defense to stop a guy like Cale Makar? The guys up front are going to score. But the question is Cale Makar going to go crazy, have, you know, 12 or 13 points in the series? If he does, it's going to be a short series. But I think Edmonton's absolutely has a puncher's chance. They proved the doubters wrong the first two series. A lot of people picked L.A.
Yep.
Most of the people, ours at the fourth period, we all picked Calgary. So to me, why not Edmonton at this point in time? But Mike Smith has to be on his game. He can't give up bad goals. But to me, they have a puncher's chance. I'm really interested to see game one because they have had time off Colorado. So to me, Edmonton's opportunity to steal game one in Denver and go back to Edmonton at least 1-1 is there tonight.
Well, here's the beauty of this, right, for the Oilers. It's not right now, Dennis, it's not just McDavid and Draisaitl.
Yeah.
No. Zach Hyman was great in the last round. Evander Kane's been a monster the entire playoffs. So to me, that's it. Even Ryan Nugent-Hopkins had a really solid game. So it's not two guys against 20. Maybe it's four or five guys. But those four or five guys have been great, Mitch. They really have been great. They've silenced all the doubters. The crowds, I was in Edmonton at Rogers Place for a couple of games. That it's been crazy up there. Like, so there's a great home ice advantage. So to me, yes, they should be decided underdogs in the series. But don't discount them. Don't think it's going to be a four or five game series. This is going to be difficult for Colorado because Colorado, hey, they finally got over the hump. I was worried, Mitch, for Colorado in game five against when they blew game five at home. Oh, they're going to go to St. Louis. They're going to lose game six. Game seven's a toss up. So to me, they showed some gumption. They showed some heart. They are the better team, but they have to go out there and win these games. It's not going to be a walkover to Colorado Avalanche to get to the Cup Final.
Well, yeah, good point that they blew the three-goal lead, 5-0 on the playoffs in the road, too. But also in that closing win in St. Louis, the third and fourth line played well. Do you expect that to continue? That was a shot in the arm.
Yeah, and that would be a big advantage for Colorado. If they beat them on the bottom six, which they can. They have better players on the bottom six. That's why they're the favorites, Paulie. That's why they were the second-best team next to Florida in the NHL this season. But look what happened to Florida. Like, you have to execute. You can't make mistakes. You can't take dumb penalties. And that's the one thing. If Colorado's going to take penalties against Edmonton, they're going to open the door wide open for the Oilers to go to the Stanley Cup Final. That's the one thing. Special teams. Mm-hmm. Look, if Connor McDavid's coming in on a 2-on-1, you got to take a penalty, a hook, or a slash to stop a scoring chance, that's great. But neutral zone, offensive zone penalties, Colorado cannot do that because, again, Darcy Kemper's been good enough, but he's not going to steal you series like the Eastern teams will. Like, Vasilevsky and Shesterkin can steal games. I haven't seen Darcy Kemper steal games. He's been good enough. He's been better than Grubauer. But to me, he's not a guy that's going to carry this team to a championship.
Yeah. The ultimate dream scenario here for the NHL doesn't mean it's going to happen, but I want you to tell the audience what you told me last night, how this, if it could unfold like this, I mean, Bettman and everybody else would be like doing, you know, backflips.
ESPN would like nothing better than Connor McDavid playing Stanley Cup final games at Madison Square Garden. I wouldn't like anything better, I think, Mitch, to be honest with you. I mean, that's the number one scenario, to have the ultimate player, the best player without question in this sport, playing at Madison Square Garden on Broadway Stanley Cup final games. Does it mean it's going to happen? Does it mean it's fixed with respect to the league? No, of course not. They're the two underdogs, the decided underdogs. But yeah, that would be just amazing. I think that would be just the ratings would be, and the ratings have been great. The games have been great. You can't compare the NBA playoffs to the Stanley Cup playoffs, guys. I'm sorry. Yeah. It just, there's no comparison right now. So to me, that would be the ultimate win for this league. And not for nothing, ESPN and TNT have been great. Yeah, they've been bumps in the road with respect to the coverage. It's been great for this league. So much more exposure. The pregame shows have been great. So to me, yeah, Mitch, that would be the ultimate. Connor McDavid playing Stanley Cup final games at Madison Square Garden.
So the West figures to be 6-4 games every night, maybe 7-5. Do you expect the East to be 2-1, 3-2 games with the two goalies?
Yeah, Paulie, if you look at the three-game set, and the Rangers did win all three games. So Brian Elliott played one game. The Lightning were banged up. Here's the question, Paulie. How much rust does the Lightning have? By the time they have 9 days off now, granted, and they still don't have a Braden Point. So, but here's the question, and I said this, I do videos for the fourth period on Twitter. Here's my question to you, Paulie. Who's going to beat this team? Who's going to beat that goalie? And who's going to beat that coach 4 games out of 7? And here's the thing. People might say that, oh, maybe Connor McDavid might not win the Hart Trophy because Auston Matthews won. Don't complain about that. complain about John Cooper not being a finalist for the Jack Adams Award, which is the best coach in the NHL, and complaining that he's never won the trophy. Yeah, he's got great players, but don't tell me he's not the best coach in the league right now. So to me, that's the question. The Rangers are live, Doc. I love the way they won that game last night. They closed big time on Carolina last night. They have Shesterkin. He's not going to give up a lot. But again, here's the thing with Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
The last series, they swept Florida, right? And they gave up 3 goals. And they didn't get a game-winning goal from Kucherov, Hedman, or Stamkos. That's how dangerous this team is. When you talk about bottom six, they got guys like Corey Perry, Pat Maroon on the bottom six. They are a very dangerous team. They should be. Look, Paulie, is anybody going to be surprised if they do a three-peat here? Absolutely not. Alvarado's probably the rightful favorite, but they could easily win the next 2 rounds.
Paulie, did you catch that? Did Dennis just break some news on this show?
With the what?
Did you just tell us that Austin Matthews is going to win the Hart?
He might win the Hart.
He might win the Hart.
Okay.
Okay.
People complain that Connor McDavid might not win it because Austin had 60 goals. They had 115-point season. It's going to be a close vote, and he might win it. I actually didn't vote for either guy. I voted for Huberdeau. But to me, John Cooper never winning the award. Yeah, I thought Huberdeau had a great series and a great season. He set the record for left wings for assists. So to me, he was the best player on the best team. But you see what it means in the playoffs. It means nothing.
This Vasilevsky thing in closeout games is the most absurd thing I've seen in a long time. The last 10 opportunities to clinch, he's 10-0 with a goals against under one. It's ridiculous.
Well, Paulie, it's a player that smells it. Like when he gets in that game, he smells it. Like he knows that I'm going to win this game. I'm going to be the difference maker. He had 49 saves in the closeout game against the Florida Panthers, who are a good team. They made them look like, you know, the first round eliminators. They made them look like Tampa Bay looked 4 years ago when they got beat by Columbus. So to me, it's just a player who's super focused, who is the best goalie in, and Shesterkin is going to win the Vezina without question. So I can break that news because that's kind of assumptive. But if I had to win one game, a game seven, I'm picking Andre Vasilevsky.
You have to. Yeah. Last seven clinchers, too. 7-0, 6 shutouts. Edmonton team total, 2.5. Colorado, 3.5. Do you like both over?
Yeah, I like both over. Yeah, I think this is going to be a run and gun. Because you know what? Here's the thing. Calgary wasn't comfortable playing high tempo, and that's why they lost in 5 games. Colorado will skate with them. They don't care. They'll win a game 6-4. They have the weapons to do that. So to me, I do like that. I think that this is going to be up-tempo because they're not afraid. They go, you want to run and gun with us? Let's see who the better team is.
Could you see a goal in the right off the bat? Goal in the first 5 minutes plus 165.
Oh, yeah, I love those. I bet a lot of those first 10-minute goals during the regular season. Absolutely, you're going to see goals in the first 5 minutes, absolutely, between those two teams. I think without question, that's a smart play.
How about McDavid, Draisaitl, and MacKinnon, all plus 120, 125 to score a goal tonight?
Yeah, why not? But kicks and giggles. I think that all of them score goals. I'm not really sure that's going to work, Paulie. But I think that, you know, I think 2 to 3 would probably get it.
Once you look at Hyman, the way that he's going right now, what's his number? Do you have it in front of you?
Well, he's 15-1 first goal.
Huh.
I didn't see what he is to score, period.
Guy's on fire lately.
Yeah. Deep series or no?
Yeah.
I think we may have lost him.
Okay. Thanks, buddy.
Dennis, I don't know if you can see us or not, but all right, pal.
Fourthperiod.com, Sirius XM Radio as well. Dennis Bernstein.
Yeah.
Follow him on Twitter. Okay. I'll gloss him at the end. Colorado in 5-3-1. Colorado in 6+350. Colorado in 7+380. Edmonton in 7 is 7-1. Edmonton in 6 is +750. BTTS is +135 in the first period. Will there be a shutout? 9-1.
That would be more than that.
But yeah, both teams to score at least two goals is -250.
Jesus.
And a total of 7. And again,
about this? The total here is 6.5. Over is -135.
They also have, Bet Rivers is 2 first period here. It's 1.5 over 180.
Mm-hmm.
Top two teams, goals per game in the playoffs, meeting in the conference finals, first time since 1989 that has happened. Edmonton has 52 goals so far in the playoffs, most at this stage since the Rangers in 94, they won the cup. This is responsible for half the hat tricks in the playoffs, too, these two teams.
We'll recap last night's betting action with Win Some, Lose Some coming up next.
on VSEN, the Sports Betting Network.
A lot going on here. Golf majors, Stanley Cup playoffs, NBA finals, and football right around the corner as well. The VSEN Summer Special is $39. You get everything we have to offer from now to the end of July. And Adam Burke does a great job with the MLB Best Bets. For the full VSEN experience, you get the daily Best Bet emails, every edition of Point Spread Weekly, the live video stream whenever you want it. $39 through July 31st, VSEN.com/summer.
Paulie, I love this every single year. We talk about it a lot. I've bet it a couple of times. I'm going to probably make a couple of bets this year on the alternate win totals here at Circa Sports. And the man in charge of all the numbers is Chris Bennett, sportsbook director here at Circa. He did it over the weekend. He joins us now on Follow the Money. Chris, good morning. Thanks for the time today. How are you? Chris, are you there?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yep. Got you now. Got you now. Thanks for popping on. Could you take the audience, like, behind the scenes a little bit here and us about your process of posting the alternate win totals? And I'll throw a couple of examples at you here just as a reference point. You use the Chiefs and the Chargers. Their alternate high total is 11.5, and the juice you have on it for KC is plus 160. The juice on the Chargers is plus 220. If you want to take it away here and explain how you come up with the numbers on this.
So when I'm looking at the alternate regular season win totals for NFL, first of all, what we're doing is we're taking whatever the existing season wins number is and choosing one win higher than that and one win lower than that as the two alternates. And depending on what the price is for the standard season wins numbers, I figure with the 17-game schedule that if the number is somewhere kind of in the middle where the team's expected to be, you know, close to league average, let's just say it was, you know, 8.5 for the season wins, that the value of a half win is about 50 cents if our starting point is around even money. So for simplicity, a team's season wins number, and I'll get to the Chargers and Chiefs, but like the Saints are 8.5 flat. So like just completely average, right down the middle of possibilities for the season. We've got 8.5 minus 110. So in my mind, if I'm going to offer 9, so before I'm even getting to the 9.5, I think that's worth about 50 cents. So that would be 9 under minus 160 or 8 over minus 160. And then moving in another half win so that we're a full win away from the standard number, it's going to be a little bit more because the value of the juice, you know, the percentages, it's not a linear relationship. So you got to go a little further out than that. So it's going to be more than like minus 210 going under 9.5 or over minus 210 at 7.5. And it's really like, it's not super sophisticated, but it's just one of those things that I've developed a feel for and past experience with just how people bet them. Like the sharp bettors are going to tell you if the price is wrong. And I can just look back at what the numbers closed for last season and see what the difference was from the standard season wins number to the alternate season wins number. And the market is saying, okay, it's worth about this much. So when we look at the Chargers and Chiefs, well, the Chiefs are 10.5 over minus 135 and the Chargers are 10.5 under minus 130. So I'm kind of applying that same rule of 50 cents for the half win, but my starting point is different where Chargers, I'm like, okay, 10.5 under minus 130. That should be like 11, like minus 185 or so. And then another bump to 11.5, and that gets me to the minus 260. So it's not perfect. I don't have like an exact price that I'm lining up my 11.5 to what we're currently offering for the 10.5, and same with the Chiefs. But you can see that there's a similar relationship there that, okay, you know, the Chiefs 11.5 under price has to be shorter than the Chargers because, you know, they're minus price over 10.5 and the Chargers are a minus price under 10.5. So not super sophisticated, not perfect, but again, that's most of what our job is here when we're booking. It's like, okay, put out a number that's not horrible, and then the sharp customers will bet into it and tell you if it's wrong. And we just got to be smart about making good line moves good after answer. That.
Yeah. Can you take us in more all your years doing this in the NFL? Again, what you said 50 cents, but what a half point, a half win, a full win, two wins, what it's worth in an NFL season?
Yeah, so for years, you know, it was a 16-game season, yeah. And mm-hmm. the more games you add, the less valuable each half of a win is. The distribution of possibilities increases the more games you have. And so, you know, for many years, offering regular season wins and thinking, okay, half of a win is, you know, worth maybe 60 cents. Back then, we had to adjust a year ago to one more game on the schedule and have to say, okay, well, it's worth a little bit less now. And also, you know, you take these standard numbers and as people bet into them, I don't want to offer, you know, a total of 8 with the under -170. I'd rather just offer 7.5 with whatever the appropriate price is. So you learn that way as well when you're just moving around the standard number where you see what price they're willing to bet under at 8 and what price they're willing to bet under at 7.5. And so without having like a chart or, you know, something that's telling me exactly what the percentages are, because I don't have that. And I know, you know, people could do various statistical analyses and it's a little bit above my pay grade, but you can just like learn from the experience of booking, okay, they're valuing the half win in the 17 game schedule at about 50 cents. And then you just have to extrapolate and keep pulling that price further away as you get further away from even money.
Mm-hmm. Let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Chris Bennett, our guest. You can follow him on Twitter. He is at BetChris, sportsbook manager here at Circus Sports, and he put up the alternate win totals in the NFL here over the weekend. Now, we've broken this down like every single summer, and then when the year is over with as well in the NFL, Chris, over the past, you know, several years, it's a majority of the time that the win totals don't land on the number or within one game. In fact, it lands either below on the alt low or goes over the alt high. Are these popular here? Do you guys get a lot of handle, you know, from sharps? I'm guessing yes, but from the public?
Here's what the public likes when it comes to the alternate season win totals. They like the idea of getting a big plus price on something instead of betting something at -110. You know, you're going to have to wait minimum of 4 months before you could possibly cash that ticket. And it's just not that exciting to have something that you're waiting on for that long, and it's only like even money. So they definitely like that possibility. The other thing they like is looking at a team and saying, okay, I really don't think they're going to go, you know, over or under this number that's a full win away from the standard number, and they're willing to lay the price in that scenario. And I'd say more often they want to bet under the alternate high of a team that they perceive as bad or over the alternate low of a team that they perceive as good, because they like that cushion, that security of the extra win. So that's where we see a lot of the interest in the alternate season win totals. And, you know, it's the NFL. It's the most popular market. So we want to offer as much as we can when it comes to the futures and props.
Chris, great perspective today. Thanks so much. And dynamite answers from your point of view. We appreciate the time. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Yep.
Thank you.
BetChris, by the way, on Twitter, at BetChris. I have the numbers right now. The alternate win totals from the 2020 NFL season. I'll try to find the 2021 season as well. 13 teams went over the alternate number in 2020. 12 teams stayed under. So that's 25 out of 32 teams in 2020 alone that hit the alternate number.
Very good. Very good. And Chris Felica always talks about this too when they do their season preview with win totals. He had a good answer, Chris, about, you know, what it's, how about college? When you're only talking about 12 games.
Exactly right.
Because Chris Felica is always like, if you can, you know, whatever the juice is, whether you're looking at teams with a 3, 3.5, whatever, get that down or get that. to where you want and pay that extra juice, because that's a huge.
To Chris Bennett's point, absolutely. I mean, now that we have 17 games, we're getting away from maybe what a half a win used to be worth, because we do have more games now. And in college, with a 12-game schedule, a half a game is definitely more valuable than, or a full game for sure.
And there's big differences, too, in the marketplaces with those college totals.
Yeah, I love that they do this.
Lesser known teams. Yes.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, it really is.
You're also right, too, about the bottom of the NFC. Oh, God. Atlanta, Chicago, Seattle, Carolina, maybe Detroit.
I'm looking
at
that.
Rough on paper.
That's the example I told Chris before the break. I don't like to lay 280 and have it tied up for 6 months, but the Lions under 7.5 is minus 280. That team's going to get to 8 wins. Man, I'm not so sure about that. In pocket plays, what we are betting, coming up next.
It's brand new season 2. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.